In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today, July 26th, is the day that St. Jacob Netsvetov fell asleep in the Lord. July 26th, 1865. Easy to remember because that's the year of the end of the Civil War in America. St. Jacob was born on an island in the Aleutian chain in 1802. You've heard in the hymnography during the hours and during the antiphons, Father Jacob referred to as the fruit of Russia and America because his father was Russian Orthodox, and his mother was Aleutian Orthodox. And Saint Jacob is the first American-born saint. He had several brothers and sisters, and his parents, although not wealthy, were able to give them a good enough education to be able to send two of them to Russia. One of them went to the Naval Academy and became an officer. Jacob's interests lie elsewhere, and he went to the seminary in Siberia. Now, Siberia, when we think of Siberia, we think of an ice box. The seminary there was in an area that in his time was pretty much like that, the climate referred to now as subarctic, a subarctic climate, and that's where he went, and so wasn't that much different from where he had grown up. Actually, if you were to go there today, you would not find that subarctic climate that he found when he went there early in the 19th century. Since St. Jacob's time, that capital of Siberia, where the seminary was, now is moving toward what is called a humid continental climate. The permafrost is half as thick as it had been. So it's not the Siberia that we think of, but it was then. And that's where he went to seminary. And there he studied history and theology. He married a young woman who, like himself, was Russian and Aleutian. He was ordained first a deacon and then a priest, and he served there at the church for 2 years. But his desire was to return to his homeland and to be a missionary, to evangelize. And so he was sent. And he was given two antimensia. The antimension, as you probably know, is the cloth that you have to have in order to be able to celebrate the divine liturgy. The cloth goes on the altar. The liturgy, since the first century, has always been celebrated over the relics of the martyrs. And sewn into an antimension is a relic of one of the martyrs, and it is signed by the bishop. So he had two antimensia. One was for the church that was going to be founded there in the area that he was being sent to serve. The building did not exist yet. And the other antimension was for him to take on his missionary travels. And so he set off. And when he and his matryoshka, his wife, arrived there, he made a tent, and in the tent he celebrated the Divine Liturgy. Now last year, it seems to me, or maybe it was the year before, the years run together, I gave a sermon where I described how difficult it was for St. Jacob to celebrate the Divine Liturgy in that tent in that frigid climate. One of the main concerns was to keep the wine from freezing before it was blessed, because it would freeze in the time that it took to get to that part of the service. Those were the good days for Saint Jacob. At that time, he was beginning, not having been ordained that many years ago, the memory and the teachings of seminary fresh in his mind, his wife of only a few years, starting out on his mission. Everything was fresh and a new beginning. It was difficult, but it was nothing like what was to come. After he and Anna, his wife, had been married for a number of years, Anna grew very ill and died. 2 months later, the house that they had by then burned down. He had no wife, no house. And he asked for permission to return to the city where he had been priest in Siberia and to join the monastery there to live out the rest of his life as a monk. And that could have been possible, but there was no one who was willing to come to replace him. There was no replacement available. And so he remained. And Saint Innocent, an older man than he, experienced, took Father Jacob along with him in his own epic travels out in kayaks to visit the villages. And Saint Innocent strengthened Saint Jacob, and he gave him a new assignment. He assigned him to serve all of the villages up the hundreds of miles of the Yukon River and other rivers of the interior of Alaska. And that's when his life became more difficult than those easy days in the beginning. During his time of serving all of those villages, Saint Jacob baptized 1,320 converts to the Orthodox Christian faith. The readings that we read for Saint Jacob talk about the sufferings of Paul, because Saint Jacob's sufferings were similar. The readings talk about leaving wife, family, house, as Saint Peter did, because that's what happened to Saint Jacob. No wife, no house, no family of his own. The words that the Blessed Theophylact uses to describe Peter apply equally well to Saint Jacob. He left his own house. He had no wife, no family of his own. But he had the thousands of houses of all of those who he served. Their homes became his home. They became his family. And his fellowship was a fellowship in the sufferings of Christ, without which we cannot become like Christ. Saint Jacob accepted the sufferings of serving the people up those difficult to travel rivers of Alaska, a people who already knew a great deal about suffering and accepted it as part of their lives. But that suffering became meaningful suffering because it was joined by Saint Jacob through his fellowship in suffering, as Saint Paul calls it in the Philippians we read today. As Christians, we have a fellowship in suffering. None who are suffering are foreign to us, because as Christians, it is for us to suffer in fellowship with Christ. Suffering is absolutely essential to the Christian spiritual life. Even for those of us who live in the ease of this climate and the ease of this time, and it's difficult for us even to imagine parting with the comfort of our sins. What suffering, we think to ourselves, to imagine doing without those things that we turn to for comfort, food and the tainted comforts of the internet of lots of sorts. So difficult for us to endure the suffering of standing against them. And without that suffering, how can we become more like Christ? How can we put off our ways of missing the mark, our sins? In Saint Jacob, we see someone who has a fellowship in the sufferings of Christ, and we reject suffering even in the mildest imaginable way. We reject even the mildest imaginable kind of suffering. That was not the life of Saint Jacob. And because he shared in the sufferings of Christ, and he shared in the sufferings of the people, they saw Christ in him. They saw that he came to them. They would see his kayak coming. Unimaginable that someone would come to a little village hundreds of miles up the Yukon in order to celebrate divine liturgy, in order to baptize the children, in order to give communion and share this life that he had with him, the life of Christ himself, because he was living in fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Like a living miracle. That was his evangelization. You could see Christ in him because he was living Christ's life. He had left all things behind. All of the comforts and joys of this world were of the past for him. And like St. Paul in his encouragement of the Philippians, he said, a Christian is always stretching and reaching forward, forgetting the past and engaging the sufferings of the moment in order to be transformed. That was the life of Saint Jacob. But there were those in many communities, and some at least, who were jealous of him. Even with all he had lost, even with the humble life that he lived, they were jealous of his reputation and the high level of respect that people had for him. They wanted to be the important people in their communities. And they found fault with him in whatever ways people are able to find fault. It doesn't seem to change. And they even brought charges against him in court. And so he had to face those charges, had to go down to Sitka and face those charges in court. He was cleared of all charges. But after his long years dealing with contention in the midst of his evangelization, his life was physically broken. Spiritually, he was strong, but his body had been broken. He became very ill, and he served out the last of his days in the Tlingit Chapel in Sitka, Alaska. Saint Jacob was a great help to Saint Innocent, whom we think of as accomplishing incredible things, and he did. But he didn't do them alone. Saint Jacob was there with him. Jacob was the one for whom neither Russian nor Tlingit was a foreign language. He had two languages to begin with. He learned Yupik. He became the evangelizer of the Yupik, Eskimo, and the Athabascan peoples. And he helped Saint Innocent develop a written language, and he helped to translate the scriptures. He became a saint beloved to the peoples of Alaska because he brought Christ to them, not by a pamphlet, not by an argument, not by teaching doctrines in your head or bringing them books. He came as an example of the living of the life that Christ gave us to live, the life that Christ calls all of us to live. When we think of our own spiritual efforts, they pale by comparison. He, Saint Jacob, was the first American-born saint, and he is our example to reject our sins, to embrace suffering, and to do the suffering spiritual effort that is necessary in order to be transformed and conformed into the likeness of God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.